How American conservatism dies is the most important story by far of this moment. Hi, I'm Scott Ott, and this is Bill Whittle Now. And Bill, that quote comes from one Matthew Sheffield, who got the attention of the New York Times and did a short interview that they published within the last day or so. After, I am assuming they caught on to him because of a kind of a little tweet storm that he ginned up on November 6, a whole thread of posts where he is talking about his role in the conservative kind of blogosphere, website, arena over the past 20 years, and how he's become disillusioned with conservatives. And just to give you his bona fides, in case the name Matthew Sheffield isn't on the tip of every tongue of those who are watching the show here, he started a website back in about 2000, particularly to go after Dan Rather because he thought he was too cozy with Bill Clinton, and it was and he was liberal. He helped to create Newsbusters. He was the founding managing editor of the Washington Examiner, and in his rather humble and modest way, he says, quote, "I basically built the infrastructure for a lot of conservative online people and personally taught a lot of them what they know." On his Twitter feed, is his profile on Twitter says, "I built conservative media and am now working to free people from it." And Bill, there are a couple of quotes here I'd like you to react to, but some of them were just really sort of counter-narrative for the things that I've heard. For example, this one: Facebook is the primary protector and enabler of the far right in the United States, without question.
There's no question about that. If the founder of conservative media says that, and I'm part of conservative media, then I must acquiesce to our founder's wishes, even though I've never heard of this guy.
So
I didn't get any checks from him. That I can assure you of.
He doesn't say anything about sending anybody any money. He just built everything and taught a lot of people. But this idea, of course, if you're on the right side of the aisle, all you hear all the time is that Facebook is the protector and defender of leftist and progressive views. But here he says that Facebook is the primary protector and enabler of the far right, without question. Do you question that, Bill?
No. I mean, if somebody asserts something on the internet, then it has to be true.
Well, it wasn't just the internet, because the New York Times, the great lady, the paper of record, interviewed him. And the setup for the interview, of course, is here's a guy who used to be a far right activist online, a communicator online, who has had a lot to do with various conservative outlets. And he's basically turned around and had second thoughts about the whole thing.
Let me tell you who this guy reminds me of. This just flew into my head, and it won't be for the reasons you may suspect when you hear the name. But this actually reminds me quite a bit of Lee Harvey Oswald, because Lee Harvey Oswald was a really insecure kid who was bullied a lot, called him Oswald Rabbit. He joined the Marines because he thought the Marines would give him some prestige, but not only did it not give him prestige, they basically hazed him into eternity. So he defected to the Soviet Union, and he thought that would bring him a great deal of prestige. Well, he wasn't working at the embassy. The Soviets didn't really want him. They told him to go back to America. They found him in his bathtub with his wrist slit, so they figured, all right, we better keep him. We don't want to start some kind of incident. They sent him off to, you know, Murmansk or something to work in a television factory. Oswald was there for a couple weeks, and he was a big celebrity, an American working here in Russia. Wow, 1958, 59, something like that. And then the celebrity wore off, and then he was just another nobody again. So he decided to want to be repatriated back to the United States. That took a lot of work. But on the flight back to America, he was telling his wife, I want to say Marina, I think, about all of the press that was going to be waiting for him when the plane landed. Famous defector, American defector, Lee Harvey Oswald, returning to America. There will be news people everywhere and expect a lot of photos and a lot of that kind of thing. He got off the plane when he got back, and there was nothing there. So he looked for another way to find some attention for himself. And that's where I will stop this analogy, because I don't believe in unreasonable analogies. But nevertheless, that is what this sounds like to me. This is the sound of somebody who no longer feels like they're getting the attention that they used to get, and have decided that they're going to get some attention by being the famous, the person who's broken free of the echo chamber. And this kind of thing is very common, you know? It's like, oh, a famed conservative says that, the guns are terrible. Well, you know, that's why Michael Moore joined the National Rifle Association. The reason Michael Moore joined the National Rifle Association when he made Bowling for Columbine was so that he could say, I'm a member of the National Rifle Association, and I think this thing is ridiculous. If I were to say that I was if I was to call myself a gigantic progressive, and then point out all the reasons why I'd left progressivism and do exactly the same comment that I'm doing now, that I'd get more attention that way.
So here's another quote specifically, and this, again, just kind of flows counter-narrative, and I want to see what you thought of it. In the information age, says Matthew Sheffield, at Matt Sheffield on Twitter, in the information age, the people who control the information control the age. Now get this, Bill. That is something that the right-wing media apparatus has figured out.
Hmm.
That sounds like the polar. This guy is the bizarro Bill Whittle.
Yes, without the looks, charm, and intelligence.
Well, that's the bizarro part.
I think I may have just be clowned myself. But seriously, Scott. Now, when you make a statement like that, now you're starting to sound like some guy on the internet. The entire reason we know this guy's – well, the reason that you know his name is because you're always looking for stories. But the reason I don't know his name –
and he was in the New York Times.
Well, there you go. Nowhere will you find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. but my point is this. When you make a statement like that, you're no longer – what he's doing is he's trying to make a statement to get him attention, and his credibility is based upon his assertion that he is the founder of conservative media, as if that were true. I'll come back to that in a minute. But his assertion is, I'm the founder of conservative media, and now I'm trying to save America from this monster I've created. And when you make an assertion like all of the mainstream media is controlled by the far right, you lose the credibility that you were trying to stand on in the first place when you started thumping your chest asking for more attention. You see what I'm saying? You can't make a statement that is so ridiculous on its face and then expect people to believe you and take you seriously. Now, if you wanted to make a statement about how conservatives have changed, and if you wanted to make a statement, then at least you could at least understand that he's trying to make an argument. But when you just come out and make a statement like that, that's just so patently false that he's trying to destroy the credibility that he's standing on in the first place. And then as far as the building the entire conservative movement thing goes.
Well, he didn't say he built the entire conservative movement.
He said he built the online presence from conservatism, right?
Let me be accurate about it. He said, I basically built the infrastructure for a lot of conservative online people and personally taught a lot of them what they know.
Well,
I want to be
first
fair.
My first question to you, Mark.
Matt.
Whatever. is this, who did you set up and whom did you personally teach? Because if I was making a statement like that, I'd throw some names out there. You know, if I was going to, if
a
I
list
was going to make
his
a
young
statement,
Padawans.
Yeah. In other words, if I'm going somebody and I'm saying, look at me, I'm about to make a big splash. Here's my resume. And my resume says worked for company from September of 92 to September of 2014. And I look at this resume and it says you didn't list which company you worked for. No, and I don't have to. But I can assure you that nevertheless, the company that I did work for, I will swear under oath that I did in fact work for them for that length of time. And when I tell you that they're major players, I mean major players. Well, what are their names? I'm not at liberty to discuss that right now, but nevertheless, major players. What would you do with somebody like that? You know,
well, the
would
New York Times interview door, was just edited security? For length and clarity,
and it's in the New York Times.
So maybe they had to cut that part out.
There's a
whole sequence that he goes into in his tweet thread, and I read most of his tweet thread until I got to the end of the internet. But he says this, and again, exactly the opposite of what we would expect to hear. United States conservatives do not understand the purpose of journalism. Conservative-dominated media outlets were much more biased than outlets run by liberals. And conservatives see it as their duty, conservative media outlets, as their duty to be unfair and to favor Republicans, because doing so would somehow counteract perceived liberal bias.
Now I see what's going on. I understand what's going on now.
He's promoting a book.
No. This poor fellow suffered some sort of brain lesion.
A blow to the head. And,
yeah, blow to the head. And basically what it's done is it has inverted the words liberal and conservatism in his mind.
He's just because
everything he's describing does in fact exist. He's just got his signals crossed. Poor guy. And I hope he makes a full recovery. You know, it's funny because when I was going to come back to the claim about having set up so much of the conservative online presence, my response to that was going to be, but the conservative online presence, of which I am a small and very grateful member, made itself, and I know this to be true because I started at Eject, Eject, Eject. You started at Scrappleface. Steve Green started at Vodka Pundit. And everybody else started on their own. And I don't remember Uncle Mikey or Uncle Mortimer or Uncle Martin or whatever his name is, Darwin. I don't remember him being behind any of this stuff. And so, again, when people come out of the gate with an assertion that is at the very least remarkable, and then immediately follow this by not providing any evidence for such a dramatic assertion, you're pretty much sure that you've got a New York Times quality news article on your hands here.
So a final statement from this Matthew Sheffield. And by the way, those of you playing the Bewitched quotation drinking game, take a shot.
I knew some of them would get it. Some of them would get it. I knew some of them would get it. Darwin, Darwin.
Okay. This is the final blow of the hammer here. Most conservative media figures have no journalism training or desire to fact check their own side. Truth for conservative journalists is anything that harms the left. It doesn't even have to be fact. He goes on to say that, by the way, tens of millions of people who vote for Republicans are not deplorable. They're misled. And and then he takes a slap at the left-wing journalists for being a little too snarky about all of that. But he finishes with a strong saying, only love can defeat hate, meaning that the left shouldn't be hateful toward the right.
Anybody who closes a statement about factual problems, about engineering problems in society, anybody who closes their argument with only love can overcome hate is not a conservative and never has been.
What are you saying about conservatives? They don't see the value of love to overcome hate.
What I'm saying about conservatives is that we don't use the appeal to emotion to close a factually based argument. We don't need to run that virtue up the flagpole and see who salutes. We don't have to do that. When we make a claim and we make a claim of anything that's verifiable, we present the evidence and then we make the argument. And if it turns out our evidence is wrong, we retract the argument. And if it turns out that somebody else has got a better argument with better evidence, if you've got any intellectual integrity, you change your mind. But to make an argument that is so absurd on its face and then to close it with that it's kind of like the signature.
Well,
you know,
in fairness, he was addressing the left on that because I didn't finish up the quote.
Of course, he was.
He
no,
said the
of course
mocking
he was.
Tribalistic coverage that lefty media often engage in only makes things worse. Only love can defeat hate. So he was lecturing the left, who would be very responsive to a message such as that.
Yeah,
in your
and
book.
But my point is, if either some astonishing set of evidence from the far future presented itself, or I was given a sufficiently large check by the Communist Party of China, and I changed my viewpoint from being a conservative to a liberal, and made these same ridiculous assertions that he's making, it would never enter my head to close something like with that. Just never would enter my head. So again, sometimes we have to take a break from the serious stuff and go from the ridiculous to the sublime to the absurd to the pathetic. And that's kind of where we are now. And you can put him on whatever spectrum you want to. But the greatest thing I can say about this guy who's clearly making statements to get attention is I didn't know who he was before we started the segment. And I, for the life of me, cannot tell you what his name is right now. I want to say it's Matt Schofield.
No. And apologies to whoever Matt Schofield is.
Mark. I'll back the tape up and have a look at it.
There is closed captioning on these episodes, and so you can turn that on and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful for your time and attention through this rather difficult to get through episode of Bill Whittle Now. It is
Mark,
made...
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to betray you, Father.
It is made possible.
What a maroon.
Initially made possible by Matthew Sheffield, but lately made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com who fork over their hard-earned money because they care to see these messages spread around the world. That band of merry conservatives has expanded by nigh on 1,000 new members in the last week.
And absolutely, we could not be happier and more grateful. And why are the rest of you not joining these wonderful patriots?
That's right. It's getting down to the point where there's almost nobody left in the country who's truly a patriot who's not already joined. We want
when
those
we
last
reach that
half
point,
dozen
then
or
I
so.
Will make the announcement.
That's right. So thank you so much for watching. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, you can get notifications, but you really should be watching at BillWhittle.com. So why don't you go there, click that big green Become a Member button, and dive into this community of liberty lovers. You're going to love it. For Bill Whittle, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks for watching.